Agenda item number three, discussion and possible action on selection of fixed income investment management services. And this is John. And again, just an observation, it does say selection of fixed income investment management services. That's what it says. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I'll introduce Richard. And then we discussed this item, I believe, the last meeting too. This particular, let me pass out. Manager as a further diversification opportunity potentially in the sort of fixed income area. And I'll let Richard talk about it. So we're just revisiting, continuing our review of this.
Right. And also it sent out information through September on the HIMCO Tactical Opportunities Fund. And I think HIMCO is incredibly large, if you will, fixed income manager, and now diversified into equities. So they're becoming a full season shop, or whatever you want to call it. Great long term track record with running fixed income. But one of the things on the stuff that had been sent out earlier was just through September. I was able on Friday to get an estimate of returns to this fund through October. The month of October was up 1.58, almost 1.6%, bringing the year-to-date number, which really is since February, because it didn't start on January 1, started on February 1. It was up 14.3%. This is during the same time frame that the overall bond market, as we saw earlier, was negative, which is one of the reasons I was anxious for you guys to consider this. And the overall strategy that's being employed is along with the restructuring, if you will, that financial institutions on a global basis are going through. Much of it's been done in the U.S. They've been slow to do some of this in Europe. And this fund is poised to take advantage of taking off those opportunities, if you will, at a discount from European holders of U.S. domestic fixed income. They had a previous fund called PIMCO Distressed Credit Opportunities, and that fund has had phenomenal success. This fund, I believe, will be somewhat less from a total return standpoint, but nonetheless, I sincerely believe it's going to be significantly better over the next 5 years than the overall bond market.
What are you suggesting? We do away with Vanguard and buy this?
No, I'm suggesting that we diversify into this, that we put $1 million into this fund.
But where are we going to get the million?
I take most of it out of Metropolitan West and some of it out of Vanguard.
But it comes out of the fixed income.
Fixed income to fixed income.
Is this a fixed income investment?
Yes.
Not what it says. It says category, hybrid opportunistic fund. Fund description, opportunistic credit strategy. Well, credit.
Mortgages.
Yeah, at a discount.
But where's the fixed income part of it? Just income that comes out of it?
Income that comes out.
And the way they charge 20% of the profit?
At 125 basis points. They got to do good.
It sounds like a hedge fund.
They do have some hedges in there, because what happens is when they buy it, they buy a package from an institution. There are certain securities in that package they don't want to hold. Probably they are of not a full liquid type of situation, and so they will short similar securities across that to try and hedge out the risk of those securities they didn't want to hold.
They're selling loans, so.
But again, going back and looking at our charts, Metropolitan West has done a heck of a job on their deal. Why would we want to get rid of them?
Well, what is Metropolitan West year to date?
0.77.
This is 14.5.
Yeah, but look at it over the 5-year period, Richard. It's done really well in relationship to what the index is.
I agree.
Okay. I think we can talk about whether or not we want this investment. But I don't think you can talk about it and say it's a fixed income investment. I just don't think it is. And I think if you invest money in here, you're making a strategic change in your overall allocation, and you're taking assets from fixed income and putting them in the alternative category, whatever you want to call it, alternative. Of course, that's what they call it right there. Does it say alternatives? Right next to PIMCO funds? Yeah. Does it say alternatives? So if you want to talk about whether it's a good investment, we can talk about that. But you know, don't call it a duck when it's or a swan when it's a duck. It's a duck. It walks like a duck.
You know, I looked at this for a couple of hours and went back and researched it a couple of days later. I was just concerned about this being a retirement fund for the employees taking a risk.
They have no risk. The risk is on the BRA.
Yeah.
So if this does very well, then the BRA's customers in the future will benefit. And if it does very poorly, then the BRA's customers in the future will have to increase their contributions. But the risk is not with the employees, it's with our customers.
Yeah, this looks like to me this is debt they're repackaging so they can sell it.
Well, I tell you who makes a lot of money out of these deals. PIMCO.
So they get 20% of the profit?
Heads I win, tails you lose. Because if you lose, I still get my 1.25%.
We've done, our bank's done a lot of acquisitions. It's very profitable. There's a lot of paper being turned over in the market. So much so that these funds have come into play, and they're going to make really good money and probably do very well because there's some large pieces now that are going to market, and they're just not many buyers, and they'll get good prices on them and be able to sell those assets over time or collect the payments and make pretty good returns. As far as a return, as far as an income, probably a pretty good investment in my opinion, because I know about what they're doing. And yet, my understanding of a fixed income for this portfolio would be like a bond or something that's got a coupon, it's got a stated rate, or you know, an income that is more deliberate. This income is going to be a speculative income, as I think it reports they're negative for the quarter. I don't know how a fund like this could be negative.
They had a one month negative, 3 months 1.63, and I think with the 158 is probably over 2%.
But what they're doing, based upon what they're doing, the profits they're going to be making, it ought to be a pretty high return.
Right.
Because it's very profitable.
My point is, I didn't say it wasn't a good investment. I didn't say it was. Say one way or the other. I'm still on the horse outside. I'm just saying it's not a fixed income investment. And when you do your little, let's go against this index that we create, that we judge ourselves against.
We'd be changing it.
Yes, don't put this in there with the fixed income investments, because it's not a fixed income investment. Fixed income investments have a much lower, They have different characteristics than this. The only thing that this has in common with them is that they are in the credit markets, but they're using a great deal of leverage.
It's viewed as very, very risky and speculative.
Yeah.
But it's actually one of the best investments out there, in my opinion.
I'm not saying it isn't.
No, I mean, what they're doing is a good investment. But they're tapping it too, you know, they're leveraging it and taking a huge, you know, they're taking a huge piece. You know, it's a hedge fund, they're taking 20% of the profit, 25%.
That's right.
Best place to be in a hedge fund is create one.
Yeah, that's right.
You can't lose on that deal.
Well, the whole strategy here was to try and
generate income.
Generate income. Now there is, and quite frankly, where we are right now in the fixed income markets, the chance for any type of principal appreciation is pretty much off the table. So effectively, the most you can hope for is the coupon, which is not much. This strategy is taking those coupons that, quite frankly, are not much, and buying that coupon at a significant discount to initial issue. And so that discount will then over time be accreted back into the fund, which is where the return is going to come from. Yes?
And tell me again why that security is selling at a discount?
Because the bank has to sell them. The rules have changed on what they can count in their capital structure. And because of that, they're having to sell those assets back out to be able to meet new regulatory constraints.
So you're saying it's a fire sale?
Yes. And they are fixed income, you know, instruments that they're selling.
Their fire sale assets are buying, and that's why they're buying them at such discounts.
Say it again, Peter.
They're buying fire sale assets. For example, HUD just put on the market $5 billion of single-family home loans. Now, because of the way they put them on the market, they're going to be huge discounts, just because you can't look at $5 billion worth of home loans properly. They're putting them on the market and they're selling them in less than 30 days. $5 billion worth of paper. But you can't do due diligence like you're supposed to on an asset like that. There's no way. So you discount. You discount for this, then you discount for that. You do your due diligence that you have, but it's paper. You try to look at some of the properties, do some tests, and you formulate your values based upon your return you want. And then you discount it some more just because of the other unknowns you don't know about. And that's how these investors are bidding these assets. And they're buying basically pretty good paper for, in some cases, 60 cents on the dollar. It's absurd. For example, we bought one of them, just an example for the committee. We bid on it. It was a performing loan. It was about $4 million. And we didn't win. And our bid was very conservative, pretty low. We discounted it pretty heavily. We got a call 2 weeks later because the first bidder failed. We got the opportunity to buy it. They called me and said, would you all consider doing it? I said, yes, absolutely. When do you want to close? We bought a performing loan that's $4 million, 7% coupon for 48 cents on the dollar. Now, it's real estate backed. It's more than secured by the real estate. It has in other words, it has a less than 100% loan to value. It's performing. It's paying 7%. And we own it at 48 cents. That's the type of asset buying they're doing. That actually is a very exceptional one.
Mm-hmm.
Those normally a performing loan that fire sold is going to sell in the 65 to 85, 90 cents. On the way down here, we bid on one. We were close. We asked the two highest bidders were asked to give a best and final. We bid. In 20 years, this broker has never had this best and final from two people be the exact same number. So now we're formulating another best and final today, which is what we did on the way down. And we're going to buy a good 57%. I hope we win it. We raised our bid a little bit more. But it's less than 90 cents on the dollar. It's 57% loan-to-value real estate deal. I mean, we would make the loan if the customer came in at 100 cents. But we also like that discount because it's very profitable. It takes the yield from 5.50 to 7.8 or seven, well, actually, we upped our bid, so about $695, but $736 to the balloon, so. This is a really unique market thing that's going on out there, but there's a lot of the big banks, they're scared about being shrunk, and they have to have liquidity to shrink, and they're selling off a lot of assets. They're really selling off a lot of reasonably good assets, but the way in which they're selling them, it's crazy. It's crazy that they're dumping this stuff on the market, but that's what they're doing. And it's very profitable. It's been very helpful to our bank to drop margins.
Yeah.
But we don't tell anybody about it because we don't want anybody else to bid against us.
Listen to you. That's
the secret is safe with us.
Yeah, well,
of course, this is an open meeting.
Well, greedy, greedy.
It's public. It being recorded.
Well, I mean, that's how Andy Beal became a billionaire, basically, in Dallas. So
yeah.
He's a billionaire because of this type of buying and selling. But again, it is speculative. There's a lot of risk in it. And I've done it, I did it in the 80s. A very high level of it for a small bank. We've been on over 200 pools of assets. We won 46, and we never lost a dime. We made a huge profit on each pool we bought. Because, you see, you make your money when you buy something, sure, not when you sell it. Mm-hmm. So that principle, there's a lot of principle on how these assets are sold. It's exactly a perfect thing for you because you control everything on the price you bid. And you formulate your bid like you want to own it. So the big issue is you have a very short fuse. You have to do a lot of work and you have to sometimes spend extra hours and days and so forth.
But what it sounds like to me and what you said, this is European debt. Not U.S. debt.
No, it's U.S. debt. It's owned by European entities that are under the same, you know, problems that happened here in the U.S. A lot of the U.S. stuff has just, the good stuff has disappeared, a lot of it. That's not to say they wouldn't take advantage of it if it didn't, you know, pop up.
There's a lot more that's just recently popped up.
Yeah, but there's a lot of it sitting in European financial institutions that's going to have to be liquidated.
There's a lot of home papers too.
And the thing about PIMCO is the size and the sophistication of their staff in vetting this type of stuff is just tremendous. And you know, the minimum for this fund is $5 million, but because we've got a lot of other accounts with it, they've said, okay, we'll come down to $1 million. Now, I've had them in to make presentations before, but they won't come make a presentation for $1 million account. It caught, you know, so, but, and in those presentations, they have, I mean, it's just like, wow, a map of the U.S.
There's yellow, tons of assets
green,
out there.
Red, pink, and at different areas, and there'll be areas where there's red, and right around that red will be green. When they go in and vet these different pools they're going to buy, they're looking for zip codes that fall into those green areas. I mean, they're down to the block almost, and saying this is what I'm going to bid on.
And it's likely a good deal, but I go back to what Bill said earlier. It's not a fixed income.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think if you refer back to page 34 of your previous report, you would almost have to change that before you could buy this. I mean, see, I don't understand the rules here. I haven't been doing this as long as some other people have. But if you say this is what my criteria is, then that's what your criteria are. And if you're going to buy, you want to buy something that doesn't fit your criteria, then don't you have to change your criteria? And that's a question, not a statement. I'm asking you. But we've said here that we are going to be 35% in U.S., you know, in fixed income. And then what that says?
No, that's the policy on April the 10th from the standpoint of the policy index. then we're measuring that against things that we may do that are in line with our investment policy that would add value over and above what that index would give us. And this, I would not bring this to you if I did not believe that this is going to do a hell of a lot better.
Well, I understand that, and it may in fact do that. I just want to know if I have permission to do it or if I have to give myself permission.
Within the policy, you do have permission.
Where's the policy? What page is the policy?
So this, what you're saying is just because this is an income-producing asset.
Am I out to lunch here?
Then that fits in our fixed income section.
Yes. It is a fixed income alternative, so to speak, or whatever you have you want to. I look at it, even though it is an alternative, but it's a fund that is geared towards purchasing assets at a discount, which overall, in effect, raises your income produced off of that base. It's not that, if you got a 5% coupon and you buy it at 50 cents, you're up at 10% all of a sudden.
Well, I understand all that. I'm still back to the horse, okay? Yeah. I'm not arguing against it. I'm just saying, do I have permission to buy it? Because I have an investment policy.
What other types of assets do we have in our fixed income category that are similar to this? Do we have assets like this in our fixed income?
Not right now. Right now, we have a very conservative fixed income.
Low yielding.
Yes. And it's low yielding, but the advantage that you have to
the principle's there.
Is that it's the principal is going to remain very much intact. Now, if his prognostication is correct, if you're continually rebalancing, which I assume we are, then your 35%, the market goes up, and so you have to sell a little stock and get it back down into your 35%. And then the market goes up some more, and you have to sell a little stock and bring it into your 35%. And then when the market crashes, now your 35% is a little high, and so now you can put money back into the market. And it forces you into a sell high, buy low over an extended period of time because you are rebalancing.
Yep.
But you can only rebalance if that money is is going to pretty much hold its principal, and that's what we were trying to do by keeping it very conservative. And conservative in a bond fund is a short duration, which is what we have, because the interest rate risk usually exceeds the credit risk.
Otherwise, yeah.
Yes, and that's what we were trying to hedge with what we did. And so we have a very conservative bond fund, which this isn't. Go ahead, you have a comment?
Oh, no, I was looking back at the policy, and the policy does not necessarily define fixed income per se as what's in it. Although I think the securities, we all decide the underlying securities are a fixed income type security.
Right. Well, they're loans.
The way they're being.
They're loans. There may be some securities in it. And depending on if they buy a pool, a securitized pool, when you say securities, you're talking about securities in that it may be a GSE pool. But they're not all going to be like that necessarily, because we don't know. They're buying instruments. They're buying financial instruments.
Last financial instruments we all bought got us in trouble.
Yeah. You following what I'm saying? The only security that I'm seeing these people buy would be like a Fannie Mae pool that's been a mortgage-related securitized pool of mortgages.
Right, and that's primarily what they're doing.
Okay. But they are also buying those assets underlying. That's all a pool is. It's a bunch of mortgages.
Right.
And the reason why the GSE is selling it is there may be some hairs on it to the point where it's a bad pool, but the mortgages are still paying. So maybe the characteristics and attributes of that pool have hairs on them, they're liquidating.
So
they're buying mortgages is what they're
and
buying.
And that's why earlier I was talking about the sophistication of their whole process about going down to almost a block basis of what's in these
pools. Of the addresses, yes.
Can we call for the question? I think we can beat this thing to death.
Yeah, I was just going to ask, you know, my previous experience with the Open Meeting Act was when I was president of the school board, which was a long time ago, but at that time, you could not poll a group or anything. You had to wait for a motion and have a second on it in order to have, is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, well, that hadn't changed then. So in order for us to vote on this, we would have to have the resolution read, and then we would have to have a motion and a second. Then we could have further discussion at that time, or you could call the question at that point. So would you like to read the motion, please?
The following resolution is presented for consideration by the Retirement Committee of the Brazos River Authority for adoption at its November 18, 2013 meeting. Be it resolved that the Retirement Committee of the Brazos River Authority hereby authorizes the General Manager CEO to execute an agreement with PIMCO Tactical Opportunities Fund to provide fixed income investment management services for the retirement plan for employees of the Brazos River Authority plan in parentheses, with the agreement containing such terms and conditions consistent with the statement of investment policy of the plan and in the best interest of the Brazos River Authority. Be it further resolved that the Retirement Committee of the Brazos River Authority hereby authorizes the General Manager CEO to take any and all actions necessary to fund such fixed income investment management services in accordance with the asset allocation strategy in the statement of investment policy of the plan.
So heard them move the resolution being read. Is there a first?
So,
I mean, is there a motion? Excuse me.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. Would anyone like to further discuss this or have any other questions? If not, my colleague here has called for the question. Okay. Would you roll call for the vote, please? Please poll the committee. There, I said it correctly.
Director Rankin?
Yes.
Director Bell?
No.
Director Bennis?
Yes.
Director Christian?
No.
Mr. Collinsworth?
Yes.
Mr. Forte?
Yes.
Mr. Wheelis?
Yes.
Yes, have it.
We just sold low and bought high.
And as a practical matter, what will happen here is that we will, I think Richard alluded to it, we will, we have about $5.6 million total between Metropolitan and Vanguard. We will split and we'll take like...
What I would recommend is, unless there's anything, is just to try and keep them relatively equal, is to take $800,000 out of Metropolitan West and $200,000 out of Vanguard. And the reason for that is, as we move through the cycle, the distributions that go to beneficiaries when we're low on cash come out of Vanguard. So that one normally will deplete down over time also. And currently there's like $400,000 additional, $500,000 more in Metropolitan West Vanguard.
All right. We now move to...